The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud progeny of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here. It's all cold and snowy and icy around these here parts. Brr. All you people in Arizona, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and all those other places where it's not like that, you don't know what you're missing. Actually, that's translation for Cowboy T is jealous of you. Well, let's get into this. First, let's pay some tribute to a man who a lot of us geeks know about. A man who just left us a few days ago, this Friday. I'm talking, of course, about Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock from Star Trek. He was 83. Well, folks, it's certainly a sad occasion, but consider this. He made it to 83, even with that chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, you know, COPD. Took him a little bit to get comfortable with the fact that he'll always, you know, kind of be Mr. Spock to us. But you know what? He did, quite a few years back. Matter of fact, Mr. Nimoy even started advising us all to live long and prosper. And guess what? That's exactly what I intend to do. I'm going to celebrate the 83 years of long life that he had here. What does that mean? Means looking for the good, the happiness in life. Means whatever your sphere of influence is, see if you can make life better for yourself and those around you. If you're not happy in your life, then ask yourself, what good is it? So, yeah. I'm going to live long and prosper, too. You darn tootin' I will. For me, a big, big part of doing that is remembering that we're here in the United States of America. What's that mean here? What context are we talking about? Well, it could mean a lot of things. But for the purposes of this podcast, it means remembering that this country was founded on the respect of civil rights for all. Haven't always met that goal. Heck no, for sure. Still don't always meet it today, as recent events have reminded us. But guess what? It's still a noble goal. We still got to go for it. Means a lot of things, including not hiding from discussion about it. I sure won't hide from discussions about it. It's too important. Therefore, we're going to talk about both liberalism and about guns this time. Here's the deal. Looks like the ATF's trying to go after so-called assault weapons by attempting to ban a very popular type of bullet, and thus a type of military surplus ammunition. The ATF is claiming here, it's armor-piercing! We'll discuss why this is just plain silly. And on the contrary, they should be encouraging people to use up this type of ammunition. After that, let's have a little talk about something called the First Amendment. Yeah, folks, that's part of liberalism, too. Big time. My conservative brothers and sisters believe in it, too. I've said before over here at the Liberals Gun Corner, we don't take too kindly to people trying to use their authority to step on the Constitution. We don't like that here at all. Well, turns out a county in Idaho's trying really hard to get the state recognized as a Christian state. Yeah. Uh-oh. This ought to be interesting. And, oh, there's a little special twist about that county that's trying this. It turns out they're known for a little something else, too. And we'll get into that, but let's just say it ain't too flattering. We'll get started on all this when we get back. Okay, let's get into it. Right into the line of fire. as is our usual practice. Well, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, or the BATFE, also traditionally called the ATF, they have decided, in their apparently infinite lack of wisdom, to rescind the armor-piercing exemption for a certain type of ammunition that the AR-15 rifle uses. Well, actually, any rifle chambered in 5.56 NATO could shoot it, including any bolt action, and there are those aplenty, too. Here's a short version. The issue is the bullet used in something called M855, also called SS-109, ammunition. The two terms are synonymous. One is the American designation, the other is the European or Belgian designation. Same ammo. See, most bullets today are made of a lead core with a copper jacket surrounding it. Well, the M855 bullets use a slightly different construction. I've actually seen cross-sections of M855 bullets. The innards of that bullet has two parts. About two-thirds of it from the rear of the projectile forward, that's all straight lead. The remaining third, the front part, is a medium-grade steel. It's called a penetrator. That steel penetrator was designed to do a couple things. Two things. First, allow the bullet to penetrate further into an enemy soldier. And second, make the bullet more unstable so that it yaws and tumbles once it hits that enemy soldier. The idea, see, is to cause more traumatic wounding. Yeah, I know. But remember, the Army's job is to, yes, kill the enemy. Sucks. Yeah, but it's true. So, in a combat bullet, you do want that. Anyway, this ammo is also available to civilians. Turns out, civilians use it for target shooting and bullseye competition all the time. Been doing it for years. That's the short version. Now, let's flesh out this little skeleton here a bit, shall we? This ammo, historically, has been sold a couple of ways. The first, that's the military surplus market. See, back in the day, the government would just sell military surplus ammo on the auction market. Anybody who registered for the auction could buy these lots of surplus ammo, just like how people buy deuce and a half military trucks and other surplus government merchandise today. Now, due to a decision made during the Bill Clinton administration, the rounds get pulled apart and sold in their component forms. Some company like, Georgia Arms, we'll use them. Some company like them comes along, buys up the brass, the powder, the projectiles, and reassembles the ammo according to the military specifications. I know. Why go through all that? You know, disassemble it, then reassemble it? Why do that? But, oh well, that's how it's done. The Department of Redundancy Department, you know. Now, the other way this ammo gets sold to us civilians is that manufacturers will sell it directly as contract overrun ammo. See, sometimes they make too much of it, and they sell it on the civilian market. This is what you see when you buy M855 or SS-109 ammo in the smaller quantities, like, 20 rounds and such, boxes of 20. Currently, Federal Cartridge Company, its parent company of Alliant Tech Systems, ATK, currently they have that contract, so it comes in Federal Cartridge Company's packaging. Doesn't matter what packaging, it's still M855. And however we get this ammo, however we get it, it was originally made at the Lake City Arsenal in Independence, Missouri. And it is, one way or the other, military surplus ammo. Now this ammo has been popular in the civilian market for years and years. It's been around a long time. Why is it so popular? How come it's so popular? Well, first off, it's good quality ammo. Remember, folks, no country's military is going to make ammo that sucks, all right? Even the communist Soviet Union, which couldn't make a good computer to save their lives, did make very good small arms and ammunition. You talk to any Mosin Nagant or Kalashnikov rifle owner, they can attest to that. And guess what? So do we here in this country. We're very good at it, too. The ammo shoots well at distances of, up to 400 yards, and that's not bad at all. So, first off, it's just good ammo. Quality stuff. Well, second, It's military surplus. Yeah, that's what it is. Usually when something's military surplus, we civilians can get it for a pretty reasonable price. This is true of M855 ammo, too. That means it's affordable as practice marksmanship ammo. The more you practice, the better you get, right? So, if you can afford to practice more, and with good quality ammo, no less, which this is, well, shucks, that's a good thing. So, it's generally been pretty affordable to do target shooting with your 5.56 NATO rifle. However, now the BATFE all of a sudden wants to ban this ammo's availability to us, the people. Whoa, wait a sec. What's up? How can they do that? Well, the law says you can't sell what's called armor-piercing ammo, which may be used in a handgun, to the public. This is supposedly to make sure that criminals can't shoot through the bulletproof vests that the police wear. Well, okay, I can understand wanting to protect the police. The key here is, may be used in a handgun. Note that use of the word may, pretty wishy-washy, huh? But that's how it's written. So that's one of the keys. May be used in a handgun and has a core significantly harder than lead. For example, steel. It's a simplification, but that's basically it. But wait a minute. The AR-15 is a rifle, right? It's not a handgun. Why does this apply? Well, turns out the AR-15 is a remarkably modular, flexible platform. Turns out you can legally make an AR pattern pistol, and this has actually become pretty popular. I've shot a couple. They're pretty fun, actually. Several companies actually make them, like production. As Astro from the Jetsons would say, "Rut-roll!" Now we have a quote-unquote handgun, despite the fact that it's really unwieldy, hardly concealable. We still have a handgun that uses this ammo. Well, okay. But is it armor-piercing under the law? See, that's the other thing you have to have in order to be able to ban it. If it's not armor-piercing, then it falls in the same category as the 38 Special, the 9mm, the 357 Magnum, 45 ACP, and so on that you buy at your local Walmart. So, are the BATFE folks just overreaching once again like they've tried before? Turns out, after reading the relevant section of the U.S. Code, which, by the way, for your info, is 18 U.S. Code Section 921, I found out a disturbing thing. The ATF might actually be on decent legal footing with this one. I'd like to thank Squirrel Hollow over at the Amosmith.com forum for pointing out the issue. The linchpin here, as I see it, depends on the legal interpretation of the word core. Yeah, I know, it's kind of like the legal definition of the word is. I can actually see an argument in court that the word core applies to the penetrator. And from a strict legal interpretation, such an argument might actually fly. It's much like how the U.S. government decided to use the argument for the Affordable Health Care Act that, you know, it's a tax, and Congress has the authority to tax, so the individual mandate is legal. Well, according to the strict letter of the law, with such an argument, they were legally correct, and Chief Justice Roberts, who is definitely no friend of the Democrats, by the way, he pointed out for us why. The same idea could easily apply to the penetrator section on M855 ammo. Hey, Cowboy T, what are you doing? You trying to make the Antis case for him? No, hardly that at all. What I'm doing here is playing devil's advocate. And we need to do that, folks, in order to know what we're up against. We got to think about the opposition's point of view here. Squirrel Hollow over at Amosmith.com raised a very difficult point for us to have to face, and it was needed. Now, here's the thing. If a judge decides that the core consists of everything but the jacket, thus including the lead part, well, then that bodes very well for us when it comes to M855, and it therefore would not fit the definition of armor-piercing. In that case, Pro Liberty Forces 1, Eric Fast and Furious Holder 0. But see, that's the problem. There are two possible legal arguments for core in the context of M855 projectiles. Bear in mind the current administration's anti-Second Amendment attitude, and that the BATFE decisions do have the force of law. So, I'm sure you can imagine, this is not going to be settled nicely. It's going to require taking it to court and suing the government to get this stopped. Congress? Oh, come on. They can pass all that at once. But unless there's a veto-proof majority in both chambers of Congress, it will get shot down by the presidential pen. Obama would certainly veto something like that. Well, the only other way to stop the BATFE, therefore, is a court battle. And court battles can take a lot of time, and they're very expensive. What'll end up happening is the legal definition of core of a bullet will get set by whatever ruling the courts make, and it may well take the Supreme Court to finally settle it. But in the meantime, what about right now, today? Well, today, it seems the ATF bosses have decided that the steel penetrator is the core, so we have a fight on our hands. Now, this is where the NRA can be really useful. They have the attorneys. They have the legal know-how. They have the money from all those contributions from all those members. Alan Gura cannot carry all the weight himself, folks, nor should we expect him to. He's one guy. He's great, but he's one guy. It is time, and it's appropriate, for the leadership of the NRA to put their money where their mouth is and do this lawsuit. When we come back, we'll get to why the ATF folks never should have even considered this proposed ban they want to do, even if it turns out that they are on decent legal footing. Turns out, legal authority or not, it's just plain silly to do it. There's no good reason to do so, and we're going to explain why. Stick around. We're back. We just got through explaining the problem with the ATF's proposed ban of the M855 or SS-109 military surplus ammunition and why they shouldn't even be bothering to think about that ban. This is true even if it turns out a judge would rule that they have the legal authority to do it. It's still silly. Now, why is this silly? Well, a lot of you out there have shot handguns. Glocks, 1911s, revolvers, that sort of thing. You may own a handgun for home defense. You might not own a rifle, though, if you live in, say, the city or the suburbs. You know, wild critters like prairie dogs and coyotes to some of you, and bears aren't exactly too common in, you know, Los Angeles, Silicon Valley, New York City, places like that. Deer hunting's also not too common in crowded areas like suburbia. Unfortunately, sometimes I wish it were. Now, I'm not saying people don't own rifles out in suburbia. I've got a deer rifle, too. But handguns seem to be more prevalent among suburbanites and city dwellers. So, you may not know, a lot of you, that pretty much any rifle round's going to go through a police vest. Right through it. Got a .308 Winchester? It's going through that vest. Got a Mosin Nagant? 7.62x54R, going through the vest. .30-06, 270 Winchester, 7mm Remington Magnum, yep, all them too, going right on through. No standard police vest is going to stop any of those very common rifle rounds. Oh, and then we get to the Magnum chamberings. Oh, yeah. Well, I already mentioned the 7mm Remington Magnum. Y'all know that a 7mm Rem Mag is capable of doing? That thing will drop an adult bull elk at 3/4 of a mile in one shot. And that has been documented, by the way. There's a fellow who makes custom rifles and specializes in long-distance shooting. His name's Aaron Davidson. Runs a company called Gunworks. Well, Aaron's 12-year-old son, Danner, did just that. This kid nailed a bull elk at 1,376 yards. For those of you without calculators, that is 0.787878 and so on of a mile. Just over 3/4 of a mile, folks. They got it documented on a YouTube video. Well, good old Mr. Elk took 10 steps forward and dropped right there. Any of you listeners, you got a 300 Winchester Magnum? Yeah, ye old classic 300 Win Mag? That's even more powerful. How about a 300 Rum, the Remington Ultra Magnum? Maybe a 7mm Shooting Times Westerner? Yeah, and don't even get me started on the Weatherby chamberings. Folks, police vests are zero defense against any of those two. And every one of these cartridges is a standard common hunting round here in the States. You'll find them anywhere. Just walk into your local Walmart, you know, Big Five Sporting Goods, Dick's Sporting Goods, Cabela's, local gun store, you name it. But Cowboy T, you know 223 Remington's not nearly as powerful as those high-powered rounds. Come on! Aye, you're right, laddies and lassies. It's not. Not even in its higher-pressure 5.56 NATO loading. You're right. So, will the all-leg core 5.56 NATO rounds go through a police vest? You know, like the XM-193? Yes, they will. As Mike Myers said on Saturday Night Live, like butter. So, since just about every rifle round will essentially laugh at police bulletproof vests, thus making this proposed ban more useless than an ice maker to an Eskimo, why ban the M855 ammo? Well, to answer that, we've got to go to who runs the BATFE. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Who runs it? Who is it? Well, that would be the Attorney General of the United States. Who's the current Attorney General as of today? Yep, Eric Fast and Furious Holder. Who appointed him? President Barack, Executive Privilege Obama. Both of these two have strongly opposed civilian ownership of the AR-15 rifle, time and again. Both have said they'd support bans of this rifle. They call it an assault weapon. Jeez. And it seems that Holder's a designated replacement. Loretta Lynch, who's in confirmation hearings right now, seems she has similar views. This is not good. So, the folks at the BATFE have complete support for this proposed ban, all the way from the top. It's an economic attack on the AR-15 in its most common chambering. But it's still silly. Why? Why is it silly? Well, consider that they're Democrats. Sometimes that means anti-Second Amendment. Yeah, that's true. Look at Feinstein. Look at Pelosi. Look at Schumer. And so on. But guess what else that means? Democrats also tend to mean pro-environment. Aha! Uh-huh. What do M855 bullets have in them? Well, we just got through talking about that. They have steel, copper, and lead. That's right, the evil metal. Gun ranges like mine, we have very strict EPA rules that we have to follow for lead disposal or anything else that's considered hazmat. Oh, you ought to see what we go through. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Government, on the other hand, and especially the military, they're exempt from those rules, unfortunately. Don't believe me? Ever see the pollution on a military base? I have. Former Air Force, remember? You got hydrazine, you got jet fuel, diesel fuel, gasoline, God knows what other chemicals. They just dump them into landfills. And also, that includes, yes, heavy metals like lead. Yep, lead. It's been this way for decades, folks. I assure you, it's not going to change anytime soon. I wish it would, but it doesn't look like it's going to. So, if gun ranges like mine don't dispose of the M855 projectiles from the range because they're not available for sale to civilians anymore. Well, then who's going to do it if there's surplus? The government. That's right. Now you tell me, folks, you all my fellow liberals who are listening to this podcast, you say you're liberals. That means you're likely pro-environment the same way I am. Yeah, I'm an envirogreeny weenie. I'm from California. I spent years in Seattle. You darn tootin', I'm a green tree hugger. And I imagine a lot of you are too. So tell me, just who would you rather see do that disposal? An EPA accountable organization like, say, a private range where the stuff will actually get, you know, shot into a backstop? Or the government, which is immune to those rules? Well, given that choice, that's pretty easy for this San Francisco liberal to make. I go with the private ranges every time. The Lake City plant. Just look at the Lake City plant, okay? This is where they make this ammunition in the first place. They have all sorts of contamination problems with landfills, chemical spills, etc. They're actually on the EPA's national priorities list. It's so bad. This, unfortunately, is typical of military installations. And it reflects a certain type of mindset that commanders, military commanders, happen to have. Navy folks have it too. Navy ship commanders have it too about some damn dicky bird trying to be preserved. I don't care about that. I got a war to fight. Well, in the case of land-based bases, it's the same kind of deal. It's, I got a war to fight, son. I ain't got time for no damn environmental rules. That's the mentality. I understand it. I just don't necessarily agree with it during periods of peacetime like now. And yes, we are relatively in a time of peace. I know we're fighting over in Afghanistan right now and still Iraq and now over where ISIL is. Yes, but here in this country, we're not doing combat in this country. So we have time for the environmental rules. Government's exempt, though. Military commanders don't seem to care. They don't. Well, private ranges like mine do not and cannot be so callous. Or guess what happens? They get shut down. Here's what we have to go through. I'm going to tell you a little something about what I as a range master have had to do after the range closes. I put on my what looks like a chemical warfare suit. It's really a Tyvek white suit with a respirator on. It filters down to the micron level. And what we do is we vacuum up any powder. We sweep away. Well, it's not really with a broom. It's with a giant squeegee. Any bullet fragments, lead fragments, and such like that. After we do that, then we sweep up the powder. We clean up that range pretty darn thoroughly. We have to. We also have to be very careful about primer dust exposure because guess what? It's got lead stifnate in it. So that means OSHA comes into play as well. If we violate these rules, if we were to just take stuff like powder residue or, say, a bullet jacket or lead fragments and just dump them in the garbage, we would have our heads handed to us by the EPA and OSHA. We can't get away with that the way that the government, especially military bases, can. We have to dispose of it in accordance with the rules. And what that means is we have a firm come in and clean out the backstop. They do it with all the lead rules in place, and they take the lead back to wherever it is that they take it, and they recycle it. That includes, you know, any steel, whatever the heck it is. But that's what they do. It gets recycled. That's the right way to do it. And that's what every private range out here has to do. I know because I work for one. So tell me, do you really think that I'm, I don't know, out there to lunch on this environmental thing? Do you think that this is silly? I don't. I'm not sure about you all, but personally, I like clean water. I like uncontaminated land. These are good things, folks. Military commanders, as I've just gotten through telling you, haven't historically done a good job of this. Government managers haven't either. Just look at the Hanford nuclear site in Washington State. Oh, boy, there's a hotbed there, literally. It's still glowing and probably will for the next 1,000 years. Come to think of it, I wonder how many thousands of years Area 51's going to be glowing for after all that nuclear stuff they did there. Huh. Every base I served at, we had contamination problems. So no, the Govies' track record ain't the greatest here. Let the private sector, which is subject to EPA rules, handle that. So yeah, sounds great. Now, how does that affect M855 ammo? Here's how. We target shooters will use it. We do it today. We use it right now. It will, and does today, get recycled into car batteries and such without getting dumped into a landfill like the military probably do. It will get reformed into bullets of various types. Some of it, possibly M855. Some of it, the all-leg core M193. Some of it 9mm, 38 Special, 45 ACP, maybe some 30-06, and so on, and get shot in a range like ours, to be recycled again. Rinse and repeat ad nauseum. That sounds like a much better idea to me. So, now that we've shown why it's silly for them to push for this ban, well, first, it's not very good at all at piercing armor in the first place, and second, the environmental benefits are actually for not banning the ammo. Well, what other reason would be left? Because the powers that run the ATF don't like us, the people, owning ARs. And they never have. Oh, but it's not a gun ban! We're not banning AR-15s! No, rather, you're making an economic attack on the ability for the general population to use those AR-15s to do marksmanship practice. How? By removing a source of affordable practice ammunition. That's going to drive up the price of 5.56 NATO rounds. Of course it is. Supply and demand, you know. How did Senator Ted Kennedy put it back in the 70s? How did he put that? That's right. I remember now. No ammo, no guns. Think I've gone all Republican with my tinfoil hat on too tight, folks? Think again. From Sacramento, guns don't kill people, it's true. Bullets do. Quote, without ammo, a handgun is only good for pistol whipping someone. Close quote, notes Assemblyman Kevin DeLeon, Democrat, Los Angeles. Quote, ammo is the lifeblood of a handgun. Close quote. That's from a Los Angeles Times article dated September 21st, 2009. See, Kevin DeLeon had introduced Assembly Bill 962. We've talked about this before. What this would do is institute a statewide FFL-like process for merely purchasing ammunition, just buying it, okay? He claimed it would save lives. You know, that old it's for the children argument. Well, the LA Times folks apparently were all on board with this bill. There's plenty more to the article, but the LA Times article ends with the following. Schwarzenegger should sign the measure. Sheriffs and police chiefs want it. It's a crime-fighting tool that doesn't stomp on the rights of lawful gun owners, and it would keep loaded weapons out of the hands of some criminals and gangbangers. Target the bullets. Close quote. And that's what Eric Fast and Furious Holder and his ATF are doing. Targeting the bullets. But this time for a popular rifle. The handgun bit, that's just the excuse. That, folks, is what this proposed ban is actually really all about. And that's why we should oppose it. All of us liberals need to oppose this, because it's just plain wrong. If you're a real liberal, of course you oppose this. Kind of like, if you're a true Scotsman, you won't let them mess up your kilt now, will ya, laddie? Ed from New Jersey, I love ya. We'll be back. We're back. I told y'all some time ago, back in episode 3, that we don't take too kindly to people trying to stomp on the liberty of other people. We really don't like that. Back then, we used the example of a Democratic voting teacher who publicly humiliated and nearly destroyed a high school girl for the crime of wearing a pink Romney Ryan 2012 t-shirt. This was during the 2012 presidential race, of course. Well, hey, folks, I didn't like Romney and Ryan either. But you know what? I lit into that teacher hard. She attacked that kid and even got a bit physical with her. That's right. Actually got physical with her a bit. And since teachers do have legal authority over the students in their schools, that is definitely what I would call an abuse of power under the color of law. Turns out, it's even worse, this teacher was popular with the other kids too. So, guess what? The girl had to actually change schools due to harassment from the other kids too. This, folks, was a total, gross violation of the First Amendment. That teacher is a disgrace to the noble profession of teaching, a stain on the profession, and she needs to be washed out of there. Part of being a liberal, folks, is being at least tolerant to ideas that you might not necessarily agree with. That's what America's supposed to be. That's free speech 101, First Amendment stuff. Well, looks like we had a repeat of that lack of tolerance just last week. Seems some folks in a county in Idaho decided to propose a resolution. Yeah, granted, it was non-binding, but it was still a resolution declaring not just their county, but the entire state of Idaho a Christian state. Yeah, they're going there. Here's what they submitted. I'm going to read it to you. Resolution that the state of Idaho is formally declared a Christian state. KC-1416-016. Preamble. Whereas the Declaration of Independence, the founding legal document that created the United States of America, attributes all authority and power to God, the Creator, and divine providence. And whereas the Christian faith is frequently invoked by many of the founding fathers as the bedrock upon which the nation is to be built, among these founders are John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Samuel Adams, John Dickinson, Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, John Hancock, Patrick Henry, John Jay, John Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, George Washington, Daniel Webster, Noah Webster, et al. And whereas the United States is built upon and guided by the tenets of the Judeo-Christian faith, and whereas the preamble to the Constitution of the State of Idaho expresses gratitude to Almighty God, and whereas the Christian faith has come under increasingly more strident attack in and by public institutions, resulting in its ejection in word and physical symbols from schools, curricula, sporting events, and public discourse, and whereas this hostility is focused exclusively on the Christian faith, reserving clear preferential treatment for other faiths. Therefore, be it resolved that the state of Idaho is formally and specifically declared a Christian state. The state of Idaho and all its institutions will render full recognition to the Christian basis thereof, not permitting any diminution or rejection of its status, nor any restriction on its presence or role in the public arena. This is to be understood as a preservation of the Judeo-Christian bedrock of the founding of the United States, and is not to be interpreted as restricting the free exercise of any other religion. That's the entire thing, folks. There are reasons for doing this. Well, I quote Jeff Tyler, a member of that committee who backed this draft resolution. Quote, "We're a Christian community in a Christian state, and the Republican Party is a Christian party." Close quote. Oh, so we're a Christian nation, eh? The founders made a Christian nation, did they? Well, as Tony Blair put it so finely, let's look at that. Let's see here. He says they're a Christian community. Well, okay, fair enough. How about if Dearborn, Michigan, with its majority Muslim population, did the same kind of thing and went for a resolution declaring Dearborn a Muslim city? How about it? Oh, but the founding fathers weren't Muslims. They were Christians. We're a Christian nation. Not true. Not all of them. Jefferson was a well-known deist. Franklin is perhaps our best well-known Quaker. Thomas Paine was a deist. John Adams is said to have had mixed religious beliefs, of which Christian tenets were certainly a part. Yeah, but they weren't the only ones. You know, speaking of old President Adams, here's a little guidance from him on this very subject. It's a little something from the Treaty of Tripoli of 1797, signed by none other than that president. Yep, the founding father himself. Here we go. Quote, as the government of the United States of America is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion, as it has in itself no character or of enmity against the laws, religion, or tranquility of Muslims, and as the said states never entered into any war or act of hostility against any Mohammedan nation, it is declared by the parties that no pretext arising from religious opinion shall ever produce an interruption of the harmony existing between the two countries. Wow. Oh, close quote. Sorry. Wow. I can't believe it. I can't believe this, folks. There's something I really can't believe. I'm actually indebted to that left-wing wacko website, The Daily Kos, for this little tidbit. Oh, God. Them? I mean, they're full of wacko leftists. And I mean, they're really wacko. They're like two steps past the term wacko. Seriously, I don't like them any more than I like Breitbart News. But it's like I've said here on the Liberals Gun Corner before. When someone's right, they're right. Oh, I don't like having to say this. Unfortunately, I do have to say it. Thank you, Daily Kos. Doesn't mean I like you. I don't. But you are correct this time. The Treaty of Tripoli of 1797 does provide direct and immediate context for this so-called Christian nation that too many Christian fundamentalists in the Republican Party seem to want to keep pushing. That, folks, by the way, is what I call the Christian Club, by the way. Now, note, I make a big distinction between the Christian Club and actual Christians. My camera lady is one example, Miss BHC, is an actual Christian and actually acts like one. I wish there were more like her. I told her about this, and when I did, she just sighed as in, what the heck are these people doing? I distinctly remember the look on her face. It was almost like Hillary Clinton sitting on the front row rolling her eyes. She was just amazed by this. The First Amendment matters, everyone. And like the rest of the Bill of Rights, it too, the First Amendment too, is incorporated against the states. Meaning, not only is the Congress restricted by the First Amendment, so are state and local governments too. And I would remind these folks up in Kootenai County, Idaho, of that point. Or anywhere else in our nation where government officials are considering anything like what they tried up there, for that matter. We are not a Christian nation, nor have we ever been. And given what we know about the various religious slayings in, oh, for example, Britain, Spain, and the rest of Europe, yeah, I'm talking about Bloody Mary, the Inquisition, the Papal Wars, going to Canossa, all that stuff. I hope we never are a Christian nation. Well, if we were, we'd then become just like the ISIL folks, the so-called Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. Them folks? Is that really what we want? To be like them? That's where this heads. Well, I'm going to tell you a little something about Kootenai County to help us answer that question. Is that really what we want? Something my dad found out by accident. Almost at the cost of his life, by the way. There's a town there in Kootenai County called Coeur d'Alene, right smack in the middle of it. He was scheduled to be there for a week. This was some years back. First day there, he was walking around town just minding his own business. Though he did notice something. He noticed that several people were giving him odd looks. And some of those looks were kind of hateful. See, what he didn't know was that Coeur d'Alene isn't just some pretty town in Idaho. And I hear it is pretty. But it's not just some pretty town. It was also the headquarters for the Aryan Nations organization. Yep, that's right, folks. Coeur d'Alene in Kootenai County, Idaho, is the headquarters for the Aryan Nations. The Aryan freaking Nations. And here he is, a black man, walking around not even knowing what's going on. He has no idea where he is. Later that day, he told his business associates about what he noticed, what he had done, you know, walking around town. And their faces went ashen. And I'm talking like ghost white. That's how he describes it. And they told him, TP, don't ever do that again without going with some of us. Don't you know what's going on here? And he said, no, I was just walking around. What's up? Then they told him. They made it very clear that he could have gotten killed. And he'd never been found up there in those hills. There's a national forest up there. They'd never find him. Well, he wisely followed his friend's advice, and he never did that again. Matter of fact, afterwards, he never went back to Coeur d'Alene after he left. And that, folks, is Kootenai County, Idaho, the home of the Aryan Nations. Yeah, real good Christian folks, huh? Yeah, right, and Ray Nagin of New Orleans was a law-abiding mayor, too, wasn't he? Right. Well, there's an update. Fortunately, it seems the rest of the Republican Party in Kootenai County realized what an off-the-rails idea this was, and they killed it 2-1. Thank goodness. I'll give that to them. But there, it points to a bigger problem. Something like that never, ever should have been proposed in the first place here in this country. In the first place. So, this is a word to my Republican brothers and sisters, especially those of you who are either evangelicals or fundamentalists. I know you prefer Christianity. Well, duh, obviously. But not everyone does. I don't, for example. I don't go for any of these religions out here. Any of these religions. I don't care what it is. You know the history of religious nations. We all do. And that includes the Christian ones. Just look at the history of Europe for that. We've been there already. And the record shows us just how ugly that is. That's why the First Amendment matters so much. That's why the Founding Fathers, in their great, great wisdom, put it in there, and then backed it up with the Second Amendment. Just as much as we need liberals on board with not limiting the Second Amendment, well, we need you all on board with not limiting the First Amendment. Maybe it's not convenient, you know, maybe it chaps at your backside a little bit. Well, folks, I run into that in my defense of the Constitution all the time, too, so I get it. I understand it. But see, that's the price of true liberty. That democratic wacko teacher, and she was a wacko, who attacked and publicly humiliated that 16-year-old Republican girl, that teacher was wrong, wrong, wrong for exactly the same reasons. Listen to episode 3 if you haven't already. Well, this is sort of the same thing here. Same kind of thing. Such, you know, Christian state and Christian nation claims, that's an attack on me, too. I haven't done anything to you. I don't deserve to be attacked. And since you're Christians, I think you see how wrong that would be to do. So that means it's time to oppose things like this Idaho thing, too. Always. This podcast, folks, is about backing up our civil rights. All of them for all of us. All the time. This is Cowboy T signing off. Until next time. Till then, safe shooting. Thanks for listening, and may you live long and prosper.